Attention podcast listeners and YouTube watchers. I'm Logan, the host of Mostly Superheroes, a weekly pursuit for the world's best stories with an emphasis on live-action superhero stuff. Every week, join me, PC Mike, The Giggler, Scotty Scoop, and Carrie as we talk MCU, DCU, books, TV, movies, and more. MostlySuperheroes.com is where you want to be. Watch us on YouTube, listen where you get your podcast, and we'll see you Monday, Sunday on Patreon. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Anyway, let's do this.
Thank the light, everyone. I'm gonna be your gleeman today. I'm gleeman Desmond, and this is my wolf brother.
Non-binary warder, Parched.Yeoman on Twitter, Fatty the Chef on Instagram, or just Justin.
Are there any female warders?
Funny you should say that. There becomes female warders. Birgitta ends up as a female warder to one of our main characters.
Yes.
After, it's like the characters who are pulled back by the Horn of Valyr kind of spend their time in between lives hanging out in Telen Riad in the World of Dreams.
Oh.
At a certain point, someone does something to rip Birgitta out of the World of Dreams, not being reborn like she's supposed to be, like rip her out of it. And so she ends up becoming one of the main characters' warders because of that. And then they kind of start, there's this other kind of faction that Perrin's future wife starts with, all these female badasses. They kind of copy the Maidens of the Spear. So they're kind of like, the Maidens of the Spear are just kind of like, but after a while, like they're pretty badass too.
Fuck yeah.
The group of female kind of, they're not really warders per se. They're more like think of it like a Queen's Guard, I guess, maybe, kind of.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. The long answer is yes, but the short answer is yes, yes, yes. And it's pretty cool.
Well, if you haven't heard, we are the true source, the purest light, your companion, what'd you call the female warders? A maiden of the spear, if you will, for your journey through all things Wheel of Time.
I'll be your maiden, Huckleberry, whatever you want.
That was smooth as...
I think this pod's going to get weird, bro. I'm tired. It's going to get weird. I haven't even started drinking yet. Cheers.
Oh, salute. I watched that movie. I watched Tombstone with my in-laws. Have motion smoothing on their TV that I can't turn off, or I can turn it off sometimes, but it just comes back. And watching fucking old 90s and 80s movies
just makes you crazy.
It's insane.
Is it the frame rate or what?
It literally animates it. What they do, so you know.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah. So for those out there, a movie is just a shitload of pictures shown back to back really quickly. And motion smoothing literally paints in the gaps. And that's why things move unnecessarily smooth.
Like when you made a sketchbook that flipped when you were a kid?
Yes. That's what your TV should look like. I'm all about them 24 frames per second. I don't know what we've got up to now. We're at 4K is like, I don't know, 10 million frames per second. But at least it's still individual frames.
Hey, you're not living up to your fucking nerd billing with that kind of talk. You better knock it off. Jesus, what? Blood and ashes, bro.
I'm old school nerd. Fucking 24 frames, baby.
Can't just tell you a quick story about work this week. Old school analog fix. You got to fucking scan all these scanning all these documents in, right? Everything's tracked cannabis in the state from when you get it, like tracking numbers and everything. Well, Fat Panda, the Budweiser of marijuana. Not that I don't love you guys. Just saying.
Just saying.
You appeal to a large crowd. Someone's got to be you. You guys are killing it. And they had flip-flop labels. That's all. And so one was ringing up like $10 lower than it should have, and vice versa. And so the lady's just like, you just got to print new things. And well, we don't have a label printer. So I just took them, make copies, cut them out. I'm like, these scan, boop, perfect. Let's go. And I was like, analog fix. I can do this shit.
Hell yeah. Who wants me on their corporate team?
Dude, oh my God. I fucking screamed that out loud when I did it. I was like, I'm a problem solver. Who wants me on their fucking corporate team?
Hell yeah. All right, things are coming together.
So now that we got that out of the way, what are we going to talk about today?
Speaking of coming together, Yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about, Justin. You do. As always, Justin has come with something, a launching pad of a bit. What are we listening to, Justin?
Just like every episode, I come over and over and over and over again with the best stuff. Right from our mouths to your ears.
On my face.
Okay, so I want to get into a character who I think I don't see how they get through season two without her. She was Luz Theron's love interest in the Age of Legends. Her name is Lanfear. She is one of the only Forsaken. I think we spoke about it on one of our last pods, though. She's one of the only Forsaken to have actually kind of named herself. She really kind of embraced the fact that she was like, I'm going to go bad and I'm going to go all bad. She was one of the main people in discovering kind of the true source, which is, or the true power, which is basically the essence of the Dark One. And it is connected to Sidine and Sadar, but it is somehow different entirely on its own. Males and females channel the same thing. It's basically you're drawing on the essence of the Dark One. And she is the one who discovered that. She was the one who drilled into his prison, which they call the Boar, originally, and discovered this wellspring of dark power, you know. And that was when, you know, that was when a lot of other people started to go dark. She was one of the first. And it was a lot of it was, you know, her ambition and her she wanted to be more powerful. And like, so maybe Luz Theron would love her. But I think it was kind of like they were just kind of like pillow friends, if you will. And he didn't love her because, you know, he ended up falling in love with Elaena. And Rand actually, in the very end of the books, he kind of, I don't know if she's kind of begging him or if she's trying to trick him, really. I still am kind of deciding on the fence of that. And he's just like, I never loved you. But he speaks like as Luz Theron. And he's like, I never loved you. This was your problem. He's like, you don't love anyone. You love power. You love yourself. You disgust me. And I feel sad for you. But he's speaking as Luz Theron for like 3,000 years of knowing her. And it's just like, stabbed her in the heart.
Yeah, that real shit.
And so this is her talking to, I believe, Min and Egwene. Nynaeve could be there too, but mainly the two people who are there are people who are been kind of connected to Rand in a romantical fashion. And Lanfear is kind of like, he's mine, motherfuckers. She's really only at the end of the clip. And
so what's the book and chapter?
So it's The Great Hunt, chapter 48, and it's just a really short chapter, and it's called The First Claiming. And I'm assuming that it's, you know, I actually would almost look for maybe an episode to be called that when they introduce her.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of her just laying claim to Rand, you know, Luz Theron as Rand. It's like, yeah, you know, I can mold him into what I want now, so don't mess this up for me.
Before, I know we're going to get into this, but before I forget this, so you said she cracked open, so Sidene and Sidar, is they're both a dark power.
Sidene and Sidar are just a power. It's kind of like the there's no real light and dark side of the force. There's only like kind of like how you choose to use it.
Okay.
Then once she kind of tapped into the like, and I believe it's kind of like, you know, one hand washing the other. She kind of unleashed his ability to kind of touch the world by releasing him from this prison so that she could tap this power.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if that's making sense, but I gotta open this door to get this magic sword, but this asshole is gonna do some shit, but I don't care.
What I was worried, or not worried about, but what I was kind of confused about for a minute, I thought that the power, once any human touches the power, it inherently becomes somewhat tainted. That's what I thought I heard.
No. It was a very pure thing for the longest time, and then the Counterstroke, you know, basically, Luz Theron's kind of arrogance, I guess, is kind of the metaphorical thing for it. But, you know, that's what kind of ruined it for thousands of years. And it was like, you know, Rand, you know, kind of gets to that same conclusion. Like, hey, these are the things I did wrong. And, you know, God dang it. The answer was love all along.
It's love, baby.
Son of a bitch.
Love is the answer on Wheel of Time, and love is the answer on Time Pop. Sorry, everyone.
Well, you just spoiled it. We might as well quit. No, just kidding. And I'm excited to the clip that you talked about a little bit. I'm not going to spoil that. I'm excited for Desmond to come with his for something for me to react to. I'm excited because I can see the excitement on his face. So you guys can't.
I'm finally getting somewhere in the book. I still cannot fucking believe how much I have left, but it's getting good.
I promise it will go faster once you...
Every time I'm like, I'm just going to drive around and listen, and I know I'm going to miss something, and that's okay. I zone out for 30 seconds, and then I like come to, I'm like, holy fuck, I can't believe I missed that. And then I just stop listening until I can like listen again.
Should have zoned out for 40 minutes and missed a bunch of descriptions, addresses, and I paid attention for 2 minutes. And now everything just changed. Everything just changed.
Yeah. So I keep on trying to bang it out, but then also getting really into it and not wanting to miss anything. So,
like I said, you're going to probably listen to that book 4 times before you actually listen to it. So anyways, like I said, we're talking about Land Fear, Great Hunt, chapter 48, First Claiming. I'm just going to read you kind of what the Wheel of Time Bible says about Land Fear. I'm just going to kind of skim through it. Like I said, she's the most powerful female Forsaken, probably even almost as powerful as Ishmael. Just he was probably, you know, like he was also one of the first. So she really almost rivals him in power. But her real strength is in the world of dreams, manipulating compulsion, which is something else we're going to get into. It's kind of a talent, like traveling or healing. People use it to manipulate. And some people are so adept at it, they can pretty much erase a person's personality because they're so dedicated to that person. And so shit, those are really big skills of hers. She's tall and pale and has dark hair and dark eyes. She's always wearing a silver belt and white, all white, which I think is ironic because, you know, she's evil as fuck. Her real name was Marin Aranel, and she was not well famous or well known, but she was pretty highly thought of by her colleagues. And she worked at a research place for the One Power. She was a member of the team that drilled into the Dark One's prison while trying to find a new source of power. Seemingly they were trying, they could kind of sense this power that men and women could use together. And they were trying to find it, not knowing that they were going to find the Dark One, you know? So it was like, oh, they found the power, but they also found a bunch of stuff that came with it. But some people like her were like, hey, all right. Cause at the time there was no famine. There was no war. People lived in pretty much as perfect harmony as you could. You know, it's just, people didn't even hit people in fights. It would be like, really like, what is happening? Like, it's like so socially unacceptable to steal or anything because there was an abundance of everything. So why they were looking for this in the first place, who knows? But what they find is a lot of people died in drilling the hole, apparently. And she was one of the few that, you know, lived through it. And there's more about that we can go into, but those are the most important to her. And she was kind of like a governor over the lands that were controlled by the shadow at first, you know, and she's got some pretty bad stories about her. And she also, just to be for people who aren't familiar and without spoiling, she shows up as a lot of other people using compulsion. When you go back and read it, you're kind of like, that was a really weird interaction. And then you realize, you're like, oh, because it was weird and it wasn't who you thought it was. So all that being said, this is Man and Egwene, and they're talking about Rand after his second battle with Ishmael, and he's hurt. And they're trying to watch over him, and I believe Nynaeve is trying to heal him. And Lanfear shows up at the end of the clip. So it's really about the end of the clip, but it's pretty short, so we're just going to get into it. And go.
Men struggled up the cobblestone street, pushing through crowds that stood white-faced and staring. Those who were not screaming hysterically. She searched the faces, hoping to find Egwene or Elaine or Nynaeve, but all she saw were Falmon. Shan Chan's ships burned in the harbor, and she could see more in flames off the harbor mouth. She did not blame Bael Domon for not waiting longer, not after what he had seen. She thought it a wonder he had remained so long. A figure on horseback suddenly appeared around the cliffs skirting the harbor, riding across the water. Min's mouth fell open. A streak of silver lanced the boxy ship, a gleaming line connecting bow and ship. With a roar she could hear even at that distance, fire engulfed the foretower anew, and sailors rushed about the deck. Min blinked, and when she looked again, the mounted figure was gone. The ship still slowly made way toward the ocean, the crew fighting the flames. Most of Falma was out in the streets, trying to decide whether they had all gone mad together. She pried his hand open and winced when the hilt stuck to his palm. She tossed it aside with a grimace. The heron on the hilt had branded itself into his hand. But it was obvious to her that that was not what had him lying there unconscious. But there was a hole burned through his coat on the left side. Opening his coat, she pulled up his shirt. Breath whistled through her teeth. There was a wound burned into his side, but it had cauterized itself. The sheets were icy cold. He had no body warmth for the blankets to hold. With a put-upon sigh, she wriggled under the covers beside him. Finally, she put
I have to go cuddle him to make him warm.
His
Bummer.
Eyes were still closed, his breathing ragged, but she thought he would be dead by the time she came back if she left to find Nynaeve. He needs an Aes Sedai, she thought. All I can do is try to give him a little warmth. For a time, she studied his face. It was only his face she saw. She could never read anyone who was not conscious. I like older men, she told him. There was a sound in the hall, and she raised her head as the door opened. Egwene stood there, staring at them by the light of the fire and the lamp. Oh, was all she said. Min's cheeks colored. Why am I behaving like I've done something wrong, fool? I'm keeping him warm. He is unconscious, and he's as cold as ice. Egwene did not come any further into the room. Whatever he is hurt. I can do nothing for him except keep him warm. Maybe Nynaeve can. Min, you do know that he cannot marry. He isn't safe.
Oh, you make the rules about people who can channel?
It's like Elaine said. You tossed him aside for the White Tower. What should you care if I pick him up? Egwene looked at her for what seemed a long time. Not at Rand, not at all, only at her. Min wanted to call out, to go after her. Frustrated tears stung her eyes. It's what has to be. I know it. I read it in all of them. Light, I don't want to be part of this. Light, I don't even know if I'm the one you'll choose. I don't know if I want you to choose me.
Says you gotta choose.
Or will you try to dandle all three of us on your knee? It may not be your fault, Rand Althor, but it isn't fair. Not Rand Althor, said a musical voice from the door. Luz Theron Telamon, the dragon reborn. Min stared. She was the most beautiful woman Min had ever seen, with pale, smooth skin and long black hair, and eyes as dark as night. Her dress was a white that would make snow seem dingy, belted in silver. All her jewelry was silver. The woman came to stand over the bed and smoothed Ram's hair as if Min were not there. He doesn't believe yet, I think. He knows, but he does not believe. I have guided his steps, pushed him, pulled him. He was always stubborn, but this time I will shape him. Ishamael thinks he controls events, but I do. Rand stirred, murmuring, the first sound or movement he had made since she found him. Who are you? Min demanded. The woman looked at her, only looked, but she found herself shrinking back into the pillows, clutching Rand to her fiercely. I am called Lanfear, girl. Min's mouth was abruptly so dry she could not have spoken if her life depended on it. One of the Forsaken? No! Light, no! All she could do was shake her head.
So, that is not quite as dramatic as our last couple of ones, but there is a lot to unpack. So, Min is accepting the fact that, you know, she's Rand's girl and that's going to be what that is. And Lanfear is just laying claim. Like, not, he doesn't even know what he is yet, but I do know this. He's mine. So first of all, he wakes up, the sword is stuck to his hand. So he gets branded with the second heron brand. So he gets two, one on each palm.
Oh,
did you catch the mention of Bale, your boy Bale Doman at the beginning of the clip?
I did. Fuck yeah.
And so apparently she really is that beautiful. But I think part of it is it's like she'll use subtle compulsion just to kind of enhance that, like, oh, she's really pretty. And then it's like they start to feel like so small and stupid and, oh, my God, and how could someone be so beautiful as her? And then, you know, that's how she kind of like cracks the way in and then kind of flexes and then boom. And there's another Forsaken. I don't know if she's going to be in the show, but she's even more like ugly with it, I guess. Like, Lanfear's got like a reason why she does it. The other one, Grendel is her name. She's just shitty. She just likes to fucking mess with people.
So
collects pretty people and makes them into furniture.
So who's all in the room? It's Ran and Min, right?
Hey, I think Gwyn is there for a second and then leaves.
Okay.
And then Lanfear shows up right after that.
Min is the one keeping him warm.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's really the moment when Egwene like kind of still tries to lie to herself and tell that, like, you know, we'll still be together someday, or, you know, whatever. I'll go be Aes Sedai and I'll figure out how to fix this. And it's like, you know, she's kind of accepting the fact that she's not going to be, you know, his woman, and her life is not going to be what she thought it was. And Min's just kind of like, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I couldn't if I wanted to. When I see shit and I know it, it comes true. And then she's like, oh my God, there's a Forsaken. I have to fight a Forsaken for him. Like, what in the hell? And it's funny because Lanfear just toys with, like, you know, she's completely unthreatened. It's like, there's no care or like concern that she might like try to do something, you know? It's like, or that someone might show up and be like, oh, who are you? Or just.
Or, I mean, the person she's impersonating could show up, right?
And now this.
Yeah, he's in. He's in the bed. Sorry, I'm pretty sure he's on the bed. Cool. Lisa just goes like this at me, like, where's Winston with the big ears? I'm like, I think he's on the bed. I was like, I love that description, though. It's perfect. Where's this one?
I think that's official sign language for dogs.
Yes, for Winston.
FYI, Justin looked, he looked more like the, what's the dog in The Grinch Stole Christmas, when he tapes the antlers to his dog.
the reindeer antlers. Yeah. Dude, I had never watched that, actually. Lisa, two movies that Lisa's like, and it's funny because she really is not like an animation fan or something. Like, she's like, we got to watch The Grinch, dude. And like, we watched it and I'm like, oh God, it's so good.
It's so good.
And then the other one is Shrek.
Oh yeah.
Like, I had never seen Shrek until I was like an adult, and I was just like, oh wow. This is amazing.
They're fun. Shreks are fun. I know that. I think they're getting more of a bad rap the older they get, but they're still fun to watch.
Get on with it.
So I'm my mind is fucking blown right now, because again, I can't believe I'm going to be that this is happening in one book. Like, this feels like three books from where I am. Audience out there,
like, from where you're at in Eye of the World right now.
Yeah. I'm 3/4 of the way through book one, and what we just listened to is 3/4 of the way through book two, and I can't, even in Robert...
It's pretty much at the end of book two.
Is it?
Okay. Pretty much the end, yeah.
Oh, I guess that's the big battle at the end of...
It's the big wrap-up for the battle, and, like, you know, the Shan Chan are running, like, you know, she says, oh, I saw someone riding a horse across the water. It's kind of the Heroes of the Horn, you know, retreating...
How do the Shan Chan show up in the book? Do they show up with the same fierce explosion that we saw at the end of season one? Or are they just kind of there? Do they look around one day and go, fuck, I guess the Shan Chan are here?
It's kind of like that. I think they had people who had been kind of like agents here for a while, you know, like not necessarily sleeper cells. I think they call them seekers. And they are people who like came ahead of what they call the return, or the Karen, which is the return of Archer Hawkswing's army. That's who they are. And so they're supposed to, like, they're going to come bring it back under his rule and everything like that. And they show up not necessarily all in one spot. They just kind of like in like almost like strike forces, like a few ships. And they, because people don't use the One Power like as a weapon in this world, it's like, holy shit. And they come in, they blow some shit up. Any woman who's they feel that can channel, they put a chain around her neck, and it's like, hey, if you bow down, we'll give you jobs and we'll make it better, but you gotta fucking fall in line, you know? It's like the Empire, and it's like, it's, you know, it's, you know, people are like, anyone who can channel or is like down with like the kind of like magical improvement of society, they're like, you guys are slaves and you can't be trusted with your own power, basically. And so in a smaller sense, they definitely show up, you know, fucking shock and awe, and they all, next thing you know, they have the whole coast, and like they've established like small governments, you know, people in power, and like, you know, people they call the blood, who are like regional governors, like really fast. I think one place they have to take a ruler they take him captive, hold him hostage. But another one, I think they just kill him. It's crazy.
Lanfear is fucking dope. I'm looking at the wiki right now, and I'm like, I want to read some of this stuff, but I feel like a lot of it's, I will read.
It's hard to read about the Forsaken wikis without getting into some spoilers.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, while she is very, very important, it's like her aspect is really a lot more, to me, psychological. That's why I wanted to do a whole episode on her, because it's like she shows up and could really, I'm not trying to say she's not all bad, because she's pretty wickedly fucking evil and she's very far into the shadow. And even if she does entertain thoughts of coming back to light, she doesn't. She's only trying to fool herself, you know, it's just to save her own ass. It's not because she really wants to be like redeemed, you know, it's just like, it's there. But there were times when, you know, she could have probably killed Perrin and Rand and Matt pretty easy, like right there. All she had to do was Dragon Reborn's dead. Like, that's it.
What are some, has anyone taken any stabs at who is going to play Lanfear?
I think some people have, but I don't think they're right, because while she has the dark eyes and kind of the pale skin, or the dark hair and the pale skin, she has like really, really light eyes, which, I mean, I guess that's not hard to fix these days, but I don't know if she quite has I just picture Lanfear a little bit more like, she's like, you know, queen, warrior, princess, and everything all in one. I don't even know, you know what I mean, how to describe it. It's like, she's kind of Padme. She's everything. She's all badass, but she's kind of evil too. So it's like, I just don't think it's going to, I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen any of that lady's work. So maybe she could be like, yep. But whoever it is going to be a really important part of all of the seasons.
Natasha O'Keefe.
That's the one I think people have been kind of saying. She's got really blue eyes.
Yeah. Though. I got to take a look at her, because I have watched. Have you watched Peaky Blinders?
I haven't, but I heard it's good. If I could stop listening to and watching true crime murder, I'd probably watch something else. Like I said, she's a real Lanfear's a real psychological aspect to it, because there's a lot of times when like she really could just kind of help the Dark One win, but she's too greedy. She wants Luce Theron. She wants to rule the world. There is something the Forsaken call Nablis, which is kind of like exalted above all others. So they're kind of like the number one Forsaken. And they kind of like, you know, they get first choice on all the good swag type shit. And so she kind of wants to be that. And so that's why she does what she does. But basically the Shadow could probably win if they could get out of their own way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And inherently, because they're like, well, if we take over, I want to be the leader. No, I want to be the leader. And then,
as all evildoers everywhere, why they fail.
Well, and she has a known to the wolves named. Is everyone, do the wolves kind of have their
Moonhunter? Yeah.
You were saying that like she helps Perrin out. Is that because is she like down with the wolves, or do the wolves have a name for everybody?
No, the wolves are afraid of her. The wolves kind of have not names for everybody, but like when they know someone, like know them. Most humans kind of blend in with them other than their scent. But if they're a really like impressive human or formidable human, or they've come across them many times, they'll kind of give them a wolf name. Perrin's name is Young Bull, because he said he runs around with his double bladed axe, like two horns. So, and he's really big and strong and shaggy. They're like, he's just like a shaggy giant bull that just fucks people up. And like, I think they call Elias One Tooth, because he carries like not a short sword, but a really big dagger. And so they call him like One Tooth or Long Tooth or something like that. And, you know, but they have a lot of names for people. They have names for the Dark One, and for, I think they call Fades Neverborn. And Perrin's all, ugh, I hate Neverborn. He's like, Fades, fuck, I'm not a dog, I'm not a wolf, damn it. He's like, you know, so.
Here's my quote of the podcast. Ravine said that Lanfear's presence was enough to make Grendel look only plumply pretty.
And she's supposed to, Brendel's supposed to be like really beautiful, kind of like strawberry blonde. They're like, I've never heard of that. That's pretty funny. But that's the thing though. Lanfear, like I said, psychological kind of fuckery, but the really dangerous female Forsaken are a more main part of the story. I think if they really only have 9 Forsaken, like they're talking about, I don't see how they could leave the couple of the other females out, because they're one called Mogadin is really important to Nynaeve's arc and Egwene and Elaine's arc. And Simmerage has a really big confrontation with Rand that I don't see how they could skip unless they just make it another Forsaken. And then there's another one called Mesaana, who is really important to Egwene's arc, you know? So it's like, and they're like really like anchor points in the story if you know, they're going to really try to adapt it that way. So I'm curious to see how that'll go down. It'll be fun, but it's just like, I'm like, I can't wait. I'm just like, just hurry up. But no, don't go too fast. Don't mess it up.
It's going to be awesome. Take your time. It's going to be awesome. Take your time.
But not too long.
I think with a pair of contacts, I think Natasha O'Keefe, from what little I know.
That's what I'm saying. That's pretty easy CGI or contacts, you know, yeah. And she could have the look.
Oh, Loghain. I was just looking at something and Alvaro Morte was up for best actor in an international production for some award ceremony, not a major one.
For Loghain or for something else?
For Loghain.
Cool. He's great. I didn't know what I pictured exactly as Loghain, but he was amazing. And I hope that they keep his arc in because it's really good and it's important too.
And it was up for, and it was also for the Hugo Awards. It got nominated for Best Dramatic Presentation in Short Form. So
very cool.
Hooray. Awards are good. I'm looking, what got me on this, I'm trying to find some more titles for season two. I'm hoping there's more than just A Taste of Solitude.
Yeah, and I really haven't had time to look up any news, so I want to try to do that in the next week. I think I want to talk. We can do a Black Tower show in the next month, I think, because I want to get into the Black Tower and talk about Rand recruiting and stuff like that. So that'll be fun, too. But that pretty much wraps up the Lanfear. It's just I think that, you know, that it might actually be a scene that happens to really just kind of might be introducing her.
I am excited. This was great. I'm super excited for Lanfear now. That's a name that gets thrown around a lot. I know you and Jeremy said it a bunch of times, I think, when you guys were recording. And that was a perfect clip to get me super excited. And just a conversation in general, too. I think the clip was good. I think your commentary on it was fantastic. I was trying to do my part, Justin, and I went on a news hunt yesterday. And all of the headlines were everything you talked about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
So
that's awesome.
I think we're kind of frozen for a minute. Everyone has made it to set. They're filming. And I think they're almost done filming, which bodes well for a...
I feel like they're almost done. And I feel like that's why we're having a hard time getting a hold of Guy, because I think they're really tight. Like, they weren't real particular about spoilers for the first season, because I think a lot of book people knew what to expect. And then I think they've been really tight with like screenshots and everything, casting locations. They haven't been saying anything. So I think we might either get a dump of news, or they might really keep us in the dark and be like, hey, it's coming out.
Totally. Like, yeah.
This is like, who's going to dump what?
You know what, though? Well, I did find one beautiful tidbit, Justin.
A nugget?
I did. Good Old Games. Good Old Games has released the Wheel of Time video game.
Yes. What is Good Old Games? I have been so busy with the new job. Of course, I started a new job on the worst possible month for cannabis. Hey, it's like Black Friday every day. Super. What is Good Old Games?
It's a website that
like a streaming
restores
thing.
Restores. I'm not sure, because you need a PC. It won't run on a Mac, right? Well, you can probably get an emulator for your Mac and run it on that.
Yeah.
But they're selling it for $9. They got what I can imagine is a perfect copy of Wheel of Time.
6 more months, I could get it on my phone and I will balefire people.
I thought it was called Dragon something. I didn't realize it was just called the Wheel of Time.
I think it's just called the Wheel of Time game.
Yeah, it is just the Wheel of Time. Yeah. Environments in real time 3D. Yeah, I've heard diverse weather effects, construction and equipment of your own fortress.
I think it was one of the first like Blizzard engine games.
It had to have been. I think it's 99. Oh, it does have multiplayer. Shut up.
Yeah, it used to have a multiplayer. That's what I was saying. It was like I was reading about it. They had like Capture the Flag, and like you would be like the White Cloaks and protect the Citadel and shit like that. Yeah, there's like factions. I think it was called Factions actually, or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, it's basically like, you know, defend the territory or capture the flag on COD.
Oh, I love it. I love it when This person obviously liked the game, but they're not a fan of the series at all. I played this game. I love this game. I played it when it was published. The game is a first-person shooter. You control a female mage.
That's a pretty good description.
It is.
For someone who doesn't know what's happening, that's about as good as you're going to get.
Mage is deaf, but that makes me happy too, that like people are like, I don't know what the fuck the Wheel of Time is, but this game is dope.
And like most people are like, I try to tell them about it, and like if you try to explain even like, oh, you know, there's two halves of the power, blah blah blah, the men do it and then they go mad, and it's like people's eyes just glaze over, like I don't know what's fucking happening. So it's like it's a lot of setup, but there is good payoff. I promise. He's so great. I'm getting a tattoo of Matt someday. A big, big one. I actually know the art I want for it. It's like, I think it's one of the main ones where he's kind of like throwing the dice and he's got the eye patch and the ravens are around him and he's got his Ashendari kind of like this. Oh, it's so cool. I don't know where I'm going to get it because I'm fat and old now, but you know, I'm going to get it somewhere where I hope it'll look cool because I love it.
You're going to get it right on your belly.
Thank the light, everybody.
Thank the light. Shine the light on my fat old belly. And check us out at, check out the Wolf
Brothers.
We'll
start a Patreon. You guys can pay for the tattoo. Hit me up on Twitter. We'll accept donations. They're like, what if it happened? They're like, here's $3,000 for a belly tattoo. I'm like, fuck. I lied. You all get your money back.
Fuck no. We'd do a live show and me and Jeremy would talk while you sat in the chair and got a tattoo.
While I cried and got my fat, hairy belly. Oh,
whatever character you want us to talk about. If there's a character that you're like, I want to hear, take a deep dive on this character. Send it to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. That's how I know I'm going to fucking love this series so much, is because we've finished with season one and Justin just keeps bringing more and more characters that we haven't met and we probably won't meet next season. And so I'm so excited to keep coming back.
We may never meet if you're, you know, in the show. They may combine them. They may, you know.
I'm going as Bale for Halloween next month. Next year.
Desmond says, if Bale Dome is not in this show, I'm going to go burn down Amazon Studios. There is no Amazon Studios. Well, I will find one. I'll go to Prague or wherever they are, and I will light a key grip shoe on fire.
I will.
And you will know my pain.
Bale Dome style.
I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. This is not going to, you're going to try to edit this and you're like, we're going to have to do another one.
It's going to be beautiful. This is going to be beautiful. If you want to try to talk to Justin at Wolf Brothers at Twitter at Parstailman. That is at Parstailman. And if you're into other podcasts, hit up whatsoundsawesome.com. I got lots of other great shows on there. They're great. I was going to say, may you always find water and shade, but I think what Fatty means is let's just go suck each other off. Is that the same?
So Lisa's like, you guys sound like you're breaking down Brokeback Mountain or something. So what the fuck's happening down here? I'm glad I watched normal shows like Serial Killers. I'm like, yeah, that makes us super great. My coworker's like, I hate horror movies.
I'm searching Wheel of Time on Pornhub tonight.
cosplay. Yes.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you're welcome, everybody. Knowing that site, it was there before the show.
Yeah. So Rafe was like, dude, I got to write this show. We should read these books.
This is the most story I've seen since the 80s.
I love it. I love it. Character development. Beautiful.
You took the sex out of this. This would be a great show.
That's what they did.
Oh, shit. and Bezos bought it.
Actually, no, they did. There's none in the books either. There's a lot of innuendo. Lots of it. Innuendo, motherfucker. All right, wrap it up. I'm going to stop talking. I swear to God, I'm sorry.
No, that's imaginary, but I'm a masterpiece. You know I do it for me.
Tell me that you're my father. It's going to be amazing.
I'm your father.
Oh my God.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
So we're probably going to have to cut this out, but...
Have you tried the Oompa Loompa Skywalker Kush? It's perfect.